I, Anakin Josiah Meeker, am here to tell you that I have single-handedly figured out how to beat racism. That's right, this age-old question that has plagued America for 40 or so years. 60 or so years is finally coming to a close. I have figured out the equation, the giant equation on the chalkboard that says how to not dislike blacks anymore and various other colors that are not white people. I figured it out! I know how to do it. And it came about because I am in a place where I can. People like to throw around the word privilege if you're white. Like, you're very privileged if you're white. Don't forget that. Don't forget how privileged you are for being white. And they're right, you know. They're right in the fact that I am privileged enough to do something about it. And I don't mean do a stupid-ass fucking commercial that's just brain-dead and laughable because it's so terrible during the Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg yelling at each other, pretending that they hate each other because they're not the same color. First of all, does anybody fucking believe that anymore? Nobody's gonna do that. And if you do, they're going to jail. Like, you're gonna lose that every time. But there's, like, subtly racist now. There's people that hold it in their hearts. And then you get the... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's people that are... It's like, they have to... They tolerate it because they have to. But the first chance they get, nobody's around, nobody's looking, they'll be racist as a motherfucker. If they don't feel threatened. Because that's the first thing, right? Is just arm the fuck up. I'm definitely not going to say the N-word if I know that guy has a gun. But if he doesn't, and a good song comes on, you know, and we're friends. And he gave me the card in, like, 2010, when we were children. And then I say it, and he's like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, but you gave it to me when we were 11. He's like, we were 11! No, that didn't happen. But, something similar did. But, what you do... is when you meet those folks, and if you are white, the word that's thrown around is white privilege this, white privilege that, which is like, yeah, I get that I am, in the sense that I can do what, this is actually true, what I've done before, where a cop pulls me over and just out of courtesy, I ask him if he wants a stick of gum. And he laughs and says no, and we just laugh and have a good time. And I know that's privilege. Because if I was a little bit darker, that wouldn't happen. It becomes weird. It's like, both sides are really tense. They're both like, are you okay? It's like meeting, you know what it's like? A white officer... And we're just assuming a white officer and a black guy, the stereotype. Stereotypical thing that definitely really happens all the time, always, every 12 billion times a day, even though that math doesn't work out for the American population. But 12 billion, this is a real statistic, very real. You can look it up, AI Overview will tell you, because that's very credible, that 12 trillion... white officers shoot 11 quintuple to the 10th power black people a day. And it's a tragedy. And if you have the privilege as a white man. Don't apologize for being white. No, we're past that. I think we're past that. I think we're past that. I think we're okay. I don't think I have to say I'm sorry for burning in the sun anymore. But you can use your privilege by offering and just making the cop's life a little bit easier. Offering him a stick of gum. Cracking a joke when it's not appropriate, because those are the best ones. Cracking a joke, making him smile. That way he can take a breath. And when he does ultimately pull over the black guy, he's in a better mood. And he only shoots him once instead of with twice or 12 bullets. Easier to recover. And maybe the black guy will survive. Probably not, because, you know. But at least it's only one bullet instead of multiple. But if you do, that's how you exercise your privilege. That's how you recognize that you're privileged and then help pay it forward in a way. That could be something. No. I was going to suggest that it's like, you know what, officer, you give me that ticket and I'll pay for the next one. Whoever it is, you just mark my name down. I'll pay it forward. But then I realized that I am poor. And I can't even afford one ticket. So I'm not quite there yet. But if you're a very rich guy and you're privileged and super white and you don't feel like saying sorry, pay it forward instead. It's the same as paying for the next guy's fucking fries at McDonald's. Just do that. Except with tickets. And maybe you'll get lucky and it'll be a black guy. And then everybody wins. It's great. And that's how you exercise your privilege. And that's one of many ways to stop racism. Another way that I'm stopping racism, because I'm white. And this one is actually real. This one's actually real. What you can do if you find yourself in a situation talking to a racist person, an actual racist person, undoubtedly racist, which is few and far between these days, but they do exist. They don't go outside much. They don't often have a high school diploma, but that's okay, because they make up a good portion of our jobs. They're hard workers, okay? And you have to respect that, and you have to respect the fact that they are fucking honest. There's not enough of that these days, and at least if you meet somebody who is just honest about their racism, it's not great, but you can appreciate the fact that you now know to stay the fuck away from them. You can just go around. You don't have to worry about it, especially if you're black. And I say just black because I feel like Mexicans are always down for the fight. I don't know. Maybe I'm being racist right now, but they are fighters. They're strong people. I mean, look at where they come from. They are strong fucking people. Very funny, too. Very fucking funny. Some of the funnest fucking people I met. But what you can do, honestly, is if you are white and you meet somebody who is legitimately racist, and you don't feel like running away, you're a crazy person like me that tries to befriend everybody and, you know, looks for peace where I can. You can go ahead and just put them onto something. You don't have to make it a fight. You don't have to go marching around in a fucking parade. You don't have to dye your hair blue and your pubes to match. Eyebrows and everything pink. You know how it is. With those dykes and lesbians and gays and wokesters and straight guys that are just trying to get laid and they kind of really took the wrong path of all of this nonsense because of their psychiatric medication or whatever, and their dom mommy told them what they should believe. You don't have to do all that fucking shit. Instead, you could be a man! You could exercise your privilege and do it correctly and do it right. And Fuck the fight. Nobody's going to fucking win if you just start screaming. It's like, you're racist, you're racist, you're racist.
Wah, wah, wah. I'm better than you. Wah, wah. Where's my rattle? With a big black fist on it. So everybody knows. And my rainbow pacifier. Wah. And my BLM. All lives matter. Or Black Lives Matter. Fucking bib.
What you can do, instead of doing that, and making a complete and utter fool of yourself, and solving absolutely nothing, just put them onto some shit. Put them onto some shit. And I've done that. I've done that before. You gotta go with the subterfuge, baby. To take a page out of the Chinese book. And not in the way that Kamala Harris did. To take a page out of their book. Is like, once the bullets and the missiles start flying, they've lost the war to the United States. They have to win the war before it even happens. So do that. Don't let it fucking get to a big heated argument. Fuck that. Nobody wins. Instead, put them on. It's like, bro, I know you're fucking with Freebird right now. That guitar solo is something else. If you want something that's also just as crazy, you might like Gary Clark Jr.'s When My Train Pulls In. That fucking guitar solo is crazy. Just check it out. Just check it out, man. And they listen to it. 8 minutes later, I'll come back over and be like, damn, that was a good song. That guy can, he can fucking play. And that's what you do. And that's what you do. They add it to their playlist. And guess what? They're listening to a black artist all of a sudden. Who knew? It's like, these fucking Mexicans. God damn it. I hate them all. But they can cook some mean fucking food. Hey, bro, have you heard of Gabriel Iglesias? It's pretty fucking funny. Martin! It's pretty good. And all of a sudden, you know, you got him! Oh, baby! That's how it's done. Fuck your missiles. Fuck calling them bigots. Fuck. Stop saying privileged because that has such a negative connotation. Because white people work hard as fuck. Quit playing. We do. Like, especially now, people start better off, and I guess technically you could argue privilege. Whatever. But at this point, it's kind of like, can we get past that and just all realize that we're all just fucking Americans? We're all, not even Americans, fuck all the American shit. Can we all just, you know, realize that we're all just people? Can we just stop this bullshit? Can we stop pretending like we're not? Can we stop pretending like this is such a big issue? Can we stop pretending that, can we stop choosing to get angry all the goddamn time? And instead, put them on. Put them on. It's like, bro, I fucking hate Chinese people. That's gonna get clipped. That's gonna get clipped. That's gonna get clipped. Fuck it. But Genghis Khan was a bad motherfucker. Have you heard Mongolian throat singing, sir? You who hates Chinese people, wait until you hear this. I can't do it. But just stuff like that. Put them on! Put them on! I don't like Asians. These fucking Japanese, god damn it. These goddamn fucking Japanese folks. Grr, grr. bro, we gotta get high and watch anime. Have you seen My Hero? Have you seen Dragon Ball? Have you seen Death Note? You're gonna fucking love Death Note, bro. Have you seen these things? And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, fine. And this is how you know you got them. This is how you know. This is how you know you've got them. This is how you know you've got them on the ropes. You're fucking swinging and swanging. They're trying their best to dodge, but everything's connecting. The racist is hardly on his feet. How in the world is he still alive? He's not blocking. Somebody stop this madness. Oh my God, it's over. He's barely hanging on. He just admitted that they're one of the good ones. They're one of the good ones. You're not like the other ones. You're one of the good ones. And that's how you know you've got them. When you can get a racist to say, ah, well, they're one of the good ones. They're one of the good ones. You've got them. Don't stop. Full steam ahead. The siege is on. There's a crack. There's a breach. And the flow of the culture is coming through. Just like me right now. Sounding like a Baptist preacher. Oh my God, bro. That's the way to go. If you meet... Because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of... of those... hard-ass working Christians that will turn their other cheek every fucking time until they meet a black guy. And because they don't know black people, they don't know any black people, they don't go outside, or they're just, you know, trapped in, like, the nearest black person is an hour away, they just don't know any better. They don't know any better. But I bet you could convert them. Because I've seen it. I've seen it happen, actually. I've seen it happen. If you show them a Baptist church, just the song. as soon as they remix one of your Bible study classes... it's over. They'll be like, oh my God, these people are great. And when I say I've seen it happen, it's because I've lived it myself. I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. There was nobody. There was no black people, and that is not even an exaggeration. It was all white people. Entirely white people. We had a class of like 15 motherfuckers. Just surrounded by cornfields and all of that. And then we go to a church. Again, same area, all white people. But the priest was a black guy. And he brought the fucking energy. And luckily I was young enough to be like, oh shit, this guy is... I mean, it was literally that thought, and it was because I was so young and I didn't know any better. I hadn't left the place where I was like, he's one of the good ones. He's not like these other legends I hear as a 10-year-old where they're fucking scary monsters. And then you just keep living life and you keep traveling and you realize we're just humans. But some people never leave their tiny town, and that's fine. But that's the way it is, man. But you can do your part. And that's the fun. That's the fun of life. Don't even like, you don't have to choose hate ever. You can just have fun with it. Just have fun with it. Plus, like, this whole thing, this whole fake-ass bullshit, because I was trying to figure it out. After the whole, you know, for Elon's eyes only, that's Sam Hyde, and the Vivek thing where he said that, you know, Americans specifically, I mean, white and black people, white people was pretty pushed, but just this division, this idea that, like, you go online and the world is falling fucking apart, and there's, you would think this is 1950, 1960, right before MLK happened, and there are Malcolm X rallies happening, which, by the way, if you go back and listen to Malcolm X talk and just replace his work, like when he says black people with citizens, like Americans, it's fucking where we're at now. It's insane. Or where we're at now, and borderline hopeless. Less so now, but whatever. I won't get into the serious politics today. I want to be silly. I want to have fun. But it's like, I was trying to figure out, because I did have a number of friends that it was hard. It was hard for them. Because it's like, I know that these guys are hard-ass working people. Hard-ass working men. White guys, white men. And, like, they're just starting their life, and immediately they're being told that they have to fucking apologize for how they look. And, like, the whole privilege thing, which is, it's like, okay, sure, maybe, yeah, sure. Still got to work for mine, but that's life. Nothing's going to be fucking handed to you. But, like, I was trying to figure it out, and I realized, after talking it through and my friend explaining it, and, like, actually trying to understand what the fuck was going on here, it's just the people at the top, you know, the richest folks, and these are, now that this is over, thank God. For the most part, it depends on the company, but for the most part, it's over. Like, no, everybody's realizing that the smart people are realizing that the diversity shit is, it's about being qualified again. We're getting our legs under us, but you know, they're being told by white guys, white people. And Jews. Depends. It's like, to me, that's just interchange. I don't even give a fuck. I guess, sure. But whatever. It feels like it's splitting hairs to me. There's like the people at the top, and then there's the people at the bottom. And there's poor Jews, and there's whatever. You know, whatever. But they're being told to feel bad because they're white. And it's like, no. Don't ever. Don't ever. Because no matter who it is, fuck it. Whoever it is, from bottom to the top. First of all, if anybody's telling you to feel bad for something you can't control, here's an idea. Turn around and walk away. And if it's online, even easier. Take your phone and turn it off. It's not real. And I know that because I ask people that were not white. I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. I felt fucking horrible. And, like, to the point that, for my friends, because they're my fucking friends, and I know that they're, we're talking like 32, 33 on the ACT, full ride scholarships to college and all of that. Like, they grind. I watched them grow up and grind their fucking ass off, going from a school where some of them going from a school that's just like no hope, and grinding as hard as they can to get into to go all the way up, and now they're fucking married with kids or whatever, and they're being told that they feel fucking bad, and that's just one instance. But then you find out that it's mostly white people and Jewish people. It's not even black people telling you to feel fucking bad. It's crazy. It's like, wait, so you're telling me that the rich people want us at each other's throats? Like, all of human history has been? But like, no, fuck you, don't apologize, because we're past that. And that's like the one thing that white people had going for us. That's the one thing. Is that we're fucking crazy, man. And fuck feeling bad about that. Like, fuck feeling bad about that. That's our superpower, bitch. We're nuts. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. And I love being fucking crazy, and I love being white. I'm not trying to turn this into a goddamn Klan rally or nothing. Because there are times where I'm like, God damn it. Black people are so cool. Mexicans are so fucking funny. And they have those big ass families. White people keep their circle smaller in comparison, that's for sure. The cookouts, the food. White people have good food too. We got brisket and stuff like that. But you know, I've been over to Coach T's house, and goddamn, that was good for my soul. That was good for my soul. That was a good ass cookout there. But no, like, that's the thing with like, why are we being told to apologize for being white? Because we're fucking awesome. I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I can choose what color I want to be. We're like chameleons. I can just stay inside and get super pale and be like, push the porcelain look. If you're a woman, that is sexy as fuck. Just like pure white, milky skin, it's great. Or I can just decide that I want to be a little bit tan. Or I can really push it and get dark. That's pretty cool. So, I mean, it's a superpower. And then the other thing is just like, be crazy! Be crazy. How often have you heard every white person who has hung around black people that are comfortable with you? There's two things that happen. Either you're in a group of black people that like you, and they say, just openly, fucking white people, god damn it. And they start making fun of white people. And then you can start, well, not everybody, but, you know, I can start being like, oh yeah, I know, fuck white people. And I shouldn't say that. Yeah, fuck white people and the fact that they made, you know, invented basketball and football and all that things, you know. And fuck white people and the phones that they made for, you know, that you're tweeting this on. And fuck white people for, you know, helping Coach Michael Jordan, which, you know, you made some shoes that you kind of like. It's like, fuck white people. You know, and then they start, you know, coming back. It's like, all right, fucking, do you want all the salt or no salt on your food? You know you can go in between and make it taste good, right? And it's like, let's talk about dicks. How many bitches have you fucked? How many side hoes do you have? And it starts going, you know, you just start roasting. It's like, fuck you, bitch, and your fucking stupid ass waves. Can't even swim. It's like, oh man, you want to go there? Want to go there? You just start talking shit. We're having fun today. We're having fun today. As long as it's in love. As long as it's in, like... You don't want to just do that to somebody, like... I guess my... No, I need to move on. But that's, like, that's the thing. Is the point I was going to make is the fucking white people. And the reason that so many people are like, fucking white people. God damn it, they're doing it again. Is because we are crazy. But the difference is that we just own it. Own being white. It's cool. It's great. It's great. Like, you can just go outside and make a fool of yourself if you want. You can just talk crazy. You can do a horrible dance. And it's to be expected! If you see a bunch of white people in Joker masks, it's like, yeah, they're just being white. It's like a gaggle of geese in a pond. The fuck? It's just white people doing white people things. The Renaissance fairs. We're crazy, dude! And that's our superpower. That's our superpower. But it can be used for evil. Unfortunately. Which we have seen, and that's kind of the points. That ultimately, if I am in that roast battle, that is kind of like the end-all be-all. Of, oh yeah, well, you guys did slavery. And then the party's over. Because next up, I'm going to drop the nuclear warhead of the hard R. And then everybody's fighting and I'm getting dangled outside of McDonald's on the fucking, getting dangled over the edge of a McDonald's into the parking lot. They're threatening to kill me if I don't apologize. And I do, because I want to live. This is a great episode. But, like, we can definitely push things too far. That's for sure. That's for damn sure. And that's why we're a little bit scary. And it's fun. It's not great, but it's fun. Like, you know, we have... White people have a very deep anger and craziness inside of them. Especially white guys. There's a reason that depressed white guys love the Joker so much. Things of that nature. The crazy, the chaos, the Stephen King type things, the horror movies, the slashers. It's because we're crazy. And we can be dangerous. So I say don't apologize. Don't apologize for that. Because, I mean, it's what got us to the ball. It's not great. But... No, it's just... It's not great. But, like, you can use it for good. The fact that white folks have a tendency to take things to the absolute limit, like competition and things like that, it's our superpower. We are so fucking insane and willing to do anything. Willing to fucking do anything that when it's put to good use, it can change the entire world. And we've seen that. But if it's put to bad use, that too, you know, will change the entire world. And we've seen that as well. So yeah, I mean, if you're a white guy, don't fucking apologize for being white. Don't apologize for being crazy. Lean into it. Own it. Be you, man. Fuck it. If anybody tells you, or if you start hearing at all, especially now that it's outdated and it's dumb, and we're all just kind of like, yeah, whatever, we're getting back to business. But just in case it comes around again in the future, which it probably will, because that's how politics works here in America. I love it. The checks and balances and the pendulum that swings to and fro all over the goddamn place. When it comes back around, if it does, don't fucking apologize. Don't take things too far. Don't go out and take the bait that they're ultimately going to throw your way with, you know, trying to get riots to happen so that way the kings and queens can go back inside and pop their champagne because the people are not after their head this go-around. And instead, they're after each other's heads. Don't fucking fight or anything, but, you know, don't apologize. Just remember. Just lean into the crazy for good. Like being crazy enough to talk to another racist and not scream at, damn. Slip of the tongue. I said another racist. But, like talking to a racist and, you know, trying to get to know them, that way you can subterfuge your way into making them see that we're all just people here on Earth trying to make it a better place and get by. And show them, you know, you like that Freebird solo? Maybe you like Jimi Hendrix right around the same time, too. I'm just saying, all along the Watchtower, you should check it out and see that he's one of the good ones. And since we're kind of on the subject of making the world a better place, because that's something that I do think about a lot. I feel like that's what it means to be a human. That's kind of what I've settled on right now. Is you got to do something. You got to do something. I really feel like that's kind of the reason why, no matter what you believe, all signs seem to point to contribution. Not even all signs. Forget all signs. It's like, if you're not contributing, if you're just sitting on your couch all day, like, what's the most depressing, rock bottom place you can get in? And that would be, I mean, homelessness, doing drugs all the time, always. And it becomes cyclical because you are deeply unhappy. And a lot of the times they'll say things like, I just can't live without it. The drug. And I mean, why? And I would argue, it's because they're not contributing. Like, we have this intrinsic desire to do something. To do something about it. It's strong in us. Like, I have the intrinsic desire to do this podcast or do my art or something like that. Because I like to think that maybe one day it'll, or maybe it already has for somebody, helped contribute to their life. It contributed something. And on top of that, you get reinforced by everything else. Is when, like, life itself, when you actually go and do something and you pursue with everything you have to contribute something to something, whether it's a company or a football team or whatever, whatever career path, whatever goal you have, whatever thing you're trying to accomplish, it also has side benefits, even if you don't fully succeed. Like football, for example, is even if you, like, you guys try with everything you have, literally everything you have, to contribute to your society, a win, a championship. Like, what you get along the way is a deep bond with everyone. Like, the people on your team, those 11 guys that you're playing with on the field, you guys are brothers. If that will to win is strong enough, the camaraderie appears, and you get lifelong friends that you can hit up years later and be like, remember that time? Remember that time you punched the ball out and I scooped it up and I went and scored for a 35-yard touchdown? That was crazy. And then right after that, you got a sack and whatever, like stuff like that. Like, you remember that time that they tried to throw a screen and you read it all the way? And then you scored and you did the Stephon Diggs before Stephon Diggs, where you stood before the crowd and fucking tossed your helmet? I remember that, Vic. Detroit Catholic Central beat their fucking ass. They were supposed to be something. We were something more! Like, shit like that, man. And you also find out some shit about yourself and all of that. And that's why I really feel like... And then you also get reinforced, not just by life itself, like the journey of it, where if you pursue a goal with everything you have and you keep your heart, you're rewarded with other good people around you, like maybe a wife and, you know, a kid, or maybe you make some really good friends, or maybe wealth comes your way, or different opportunities that you had no anticipation of thinking could ever happen show up and open up for you. Other avenues. And that, like, you do. Yeah, and then it's also reinforced on another level if you get into the spiritual aspect of everything. You don't have to, because I feel like that's, I think the feeling alone of, on days where you, like, going through long stretches of, if you compare long stretches of not contributing anything, not even going to work because you're unemployed, and you're just sitting back and you're just watching TV, you get depressed. You get deeply depressed, and you feel worthless about yourself if you aren't contributing. But compare that, like, if we just take 3 months of that, by the end, you're going to be fucked up. You're going to be in a really bad place mentally. Versus if you have the 3 months of, you are just going hard. Like a whole, like, you just, everything you have, and every single day you're like, fuck this shit. I don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to. And you just keep going. Or maybe you have to keep going to that work. It's like, even then, by the end of that, even though it was way, way harder, you're like, shit. You feel great. You feel fucking fantastic. Because you just accomplished something hard. And you contributed something. And same deal. Not like on the, you could take it a step further with the spiritual, where every single, well, I won't say every single, but almost, I'll just say like 80. Because I don't know. I haven't gotten into the Buddhist, I haven't fully I haven't journeyed outside of Western religions quite yet. I'm like dabbling in it now. I'm just getting into that sort of thing, like with the Confucianism and stuff like that. But every society that was worth their salt, I guess, has something in their religion about needing to not just exist, but go above and beyond existing and contribute something to the human race, to this world, to make the world a better place. Because afterwards, you are judged, and you cannot hide. And that's a scary fucking thought. But you can... You can contribute, and you can start at any point. You don't have to... Like, at any point of that 3-month period of being sad and not contributing, like, even if you go 90 years of not contributing a goddamn thing, make sure that you're 91st by the end of it. You added something. Like, you don't have to live that way. You can contribute, and you can contribute constantly. And I feel like relationships, if they're good, can take your contributions to this world to another level. And, I mean, I guess that's not that bold to say, really. I mean, that's how humans got here. That's how Homo sapiens made it this fucking far after, like, 60,000 years or something crazy. I don't know the number. But it's like, that's kind of the thing. It's that joke of, you know, apes together, or ape alone is weak, but apes together strong. That's us. We're fucking monkeys. And we gotta work together, man. And it's like, this whole idea of, it just, if your goal is to contribute to the world, to add something, you might want to consider, like, if you want to do anything, you might want to consider a monogamous relationship. And I've really been thinking about that. And yes, I know that I have said on the show that I love fucking bitches, because it's great. But I've kind of seen the path that goes down, especially now that things are a little bit different in my life. Things are a little bit different. It's like, at this point, I'm trying to do something real. And yeah, I mean, monogamy is like, in this polyamorous world, monogamy seems like it's a cheat code almost. It's just how you break the game. It's above. It's like people that are completely indulging in their sexual behavior they're not doing anything, really. Compared to you take somebody who's in a monogamous relationship and they love it, and, you know, monogamy and polyamory is, I don't know. At this point, what are these fucking words? What I'm talking about is people that just screw whoever, open relationship type things, which it's just like, that's not even a relationship to me, but it confused the fuck out of me, because this was ruling our world when I got to the age where I was starting to be interested in dating people, and I was kind of like, fuck, man, what's the point of this? What's the point of any of this? If we're all just going to have sex all the time and not have anything meaningful. And then I got on, you know, psych drugs, and that made me hypersexual, and I understood. And it's ironic that a lot of the people that are banging the drum of polyamory and, you know, being able to fuck whoever they want to fucking fuck are also deeply, deeply sad people that are not contributing a goddamn thing to this world. And all they do is sit back and do their little edibles. They smoke their little bit of weed. Maybe they'll drink a little bit of alcohol. Maybe they'll go to their orgy that smells fucking horrible. Or maybe they'll upload some videos and on sexual videos, I mean, and just contribute to the never-ending problem of the porn addictions and all of that. And they're not really contributing anything fucking real. And they're not making anything a real, much of a better place. And they're, they're just hoeing it up, I guess. They're just fucking being whores and pimps out here. And nobody's happy. Because they're not contributing anything to the goddamn world. Just the world. The world isn't goddamned yet, actually, now that I think about it. We're not quite there yet, because we would know. We would know. I don't think we're quite fucking there yet. I think there's still enough of us out there that are trying to do the right thing. But it's like, it just makes more sense. And especially now with everybody fucking and just going in all the goddamn time, it's like it's a no-brainer. It's like it would put you at such an insane advantage that you're dumb not to take it. Not to settle down with somebody instead of just having fun all the time. Because if you're in something like in an open relationship, or you find yourself in a relationship that is like, you guys aren't in love, you don't care about each other, like nothing's really happening, or you, fucking worse, you're in a fake relationship online, and you guys haven't even met, or you've met like once. It's like, no, 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 no. No, that's not going to do anything for you. It's only setting you back. You're not... You got to get out of there. Because you want the... My argument for monogamy in a polyamorous world would be... You guys need each other. The benefit is... I'm fucking dumb. I'm a guy. Guys have this thing where we're right. I am right, always. Always right. It's like, this guy's getting fucking mad. I don't even have the social cues. Because I haven't given a fuck in so long that they've withered away. It's like, I'm going to say what I want to fucking say because I'm a fucking man. And what's he going to do about it? And you need somebody, like a good stand-up strong woman, to kind of come along and be like, honey. Yes. You're kind of being a dick. Ah, fuck. Am I being a dick? God damn it. I'm sorry, sir. I was being a dick. I'm just really hungry. And I want my fries. And you don't have them. And I think it's bullshit. Because this is McDonald's. Honey. It's like, okay, fine. I'll wait 5 minutes for you guys to cook more. It's like that sort of thing. You guys help each other stay on track. And not only that, but it's in what world is one mind better than two? In what world is one human alone able to do anything in comparison to an entire group? It's like the group's gonna win every fucking time. That's why we feel the need to be liked. It's in our DNA. And if you get two people, if you get a man and a woman and a woman, I guess, a man and a man, like, they're just that alone just took your ability to contribute and think rationally, because you can talk to them about things and they can give you feedback. Because your perspective is not reality. It's your reality, but it's not the reality that everybody else moves through. It's the one in your mind. You get, yeah, I'm it's like, there's that benefit, and then there's also the benefit where it's like, yeah, I had fucking fun. I had fun with him, and I sucked his dick, and he fucking took my hair, and he took my head and put his cock in the all the way back in the throat, and I still have a bruised esophagus 2 days later, and my voice just came back yesterday, and he came all down my throat, and it's just right into my belly, and it felt great, and then he fucked me right afterwards, and because I'm on birth control, he was able to just keep going, and we went for rounds and rounds, and it was a lot of fun. And then he never talked to me again. And that made me, it was okay, I guess, because I'm going to go talk to all these other people. But then, it's like, yeah, I'm going to keep talking to him. Oh, man, it's been an hour since I fucked. I'm going to keep fucking. Oh, it's been a day since I fucked now. Shit. And all of a sudden, it's like, you start not being so pretty. You're not as handsome. But no, you're just having fun. You're just having fun, right? Being in your polyamory relationship. You're having fucking fun. You're getting tattooed up. You're dyeing your hair all kinds of crazy colors. Maybe not. But you're just living life. You're a free spirit. Better in person, all that fun stuff, whatever. You're fucking, you're riding cock. You're bending bitches over. It's like, yeah, man, I got 10 bitches on the way. I don't need any of them. I'm never going to give my heart to a woman. I don't need to. I got pussy, man. It's like, bro, I got them all lined up. It's like, I got two today. And all of a sudden it becomes one that day, one a day. And a little bit longer, you're not, you know, you're not as young, you're not as spry, you're not as much with it. You're losing touch a little bit, your fire's going out a little bit. It's like, oh man, I'm one a week. It's a slow day. Only four this month? Fuck. And you go a little bit longer. You're still dicking around. You're still just having fun. Maybe it's for a year. It's like, shit. What's going on? I'm on the slide down. And you're just having fun. And all of a sudden it's like, man, what the fuck is going on? I only had one and she was married. And she screamed at me. She screamed at me because she couldn't do this anymore. She couldn't take it. And not in the good way. It's like, fuck, this bitch is married. She has a kid and I'm getting old. Fuck. Is that a wrinkle? No, man. I can't have a wrinkle. Fuck no, man. What? I'm getting old. No, but I'm just having fun, man. It's okay. I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun. I got one. Oh, never mind. She blocked me, I guess. No, wait. I got one the next day. Oh, wait. No, they're I guess that 24-year-old that I'm like a decade older than, she found somebody that's her age that likes her. Fuck. And all of a sudden, because you were having so much fun and not contributing anything, you're getting up there in years and you realize that it's over. It's over. Fun's over. The night's done. Final call. Final call happened and you didn't realize that it had happened. You peaked. And that's a scary fucking thought. That's a real fucking scary thought, because then it starts getting bad. Just because you were having so much fun and you were living your truth and getting caught up in the wrong things and not really pursuing that relationship, that monogamous relationship where it's like, yeah, you're having fucking fun. Because you can have fun in a monogamous relationship. You can, if it's a real one, there's no limit to the fun. You get to go do things. You get to fuck. You get to fuck all the time whenever you want. Well, you know, okay, I'll take that back. But it's like, if you're a man, if you're handling your shit, it's always on the table. Like, it's not at times, but it's, you know that there's no shortage. Like, she loves you. And vice versa. It's like, if you're a fucking woman, oh my God. If you're a woman, I'm not talking about little girl shit. I'm not talking like you're out there partying. I'm going to go out with my friends. I'm a woman. I'm going to dress up hot. And I'm going to... No, I mean like you're a fucking bad bitch. Like you go out and get shit done. You're strong. I don't know for sure if I could take you in a fight. Like you're out there fucking working. And you know who you are. God. That's the fucking hottest shit. Like... Just a fucking strong woman is... A strong woman is fucking... Not a bitch, but a strong woman. One that cares, but can also, like, you know... Won't take shit. She's nice, but she's... she's ready to scrap. She comes in peace, but is ready for war. Like, that kind of woman. And isn't dumb. Isn't just trying to have fun. She's trying to contribute to the world as well. It's a king and queen type shit. Like, compare that and the never-ending fun that you could have that way versus the polyamorous, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to go drink all night and I'm going to go to this orgy and I'm going to go talk to these two people and I'm going to have a three-way with them and I'm going to go do that and I'm going to pretend that I'm a woman on this day and pretend I'm a man on this day. And it's like, you can do that. You're free. It's the land of the fucking free, bitch. But just know the trade-off is deep unhappiness and nothing but darkness the farther you go down that road. Because then you start realizing that you fucked up and you don't have somebody that loves you for you. You only have people that love you for how you look and how you act. And then it gets really dark with body modification and you start doing the hair stuff because it's like, fucking shit, I'm getting old and I dicked around. And maybe you get into, you start hitting drugs really hard because you're deeply sad. And all of a sudden you're not contributing shit to society and you start cutting open your face. Maybe you have a crisis. You start paying out the goddamn ass, all your savings, you know, to a therapist or something like that, when you could just have a therapist known as a woman or known as a man that loves you instead. Because that's the biggest fucking scam in the world, is thinking that you have to outsource advice. It's like, that's the whole point of the monogamous relationship, is you have somebody else to give you advice. And if you didn't bullshit, they'll keep it real with you. And you got to know, you got to accept the fact that they could be right. And that's easier said than done, I know. But then you also make sure that, you know, you have other people around you to kind of help. It's, you know, it's a tribe thing. It's what it means to be human. And if that is what you're going for with the, you know, the long game of contributing, contribution, the cheat code, you could take it to a whole new level with a child. Because let's just say that, I don't know, maybe all the separate religions that had no contact with each other and all said the exact same thing, all say the exact same thing, that you are tried after death and your outcome is based off of how much you contributed to the world, the good that you put into the world versus the bad, from Egypt to the Mayans to the Bible, to, or the Jews rather, the Torah to, you know, I mean, even whichever religion has Nirvana, where you stop being forced to relive lives once you have handled your shit. Maybe I have actually studied Eastern religions more than I thought. But like, let's just assume that maybe they're correct. Maybe. It's I feel like it's a safe thing to think, because they never talk to each other or anything like that. And all of a sudden they're like, wait, you guys say the same thing too? Oh, cool. But if you are, what a fucking, or if, even if you're not, even if you are atheist and you just want to do good for the world, like that's your goal. Your goal is to help the world, make the world a better place. A child, a kid, is it's a great idea. If you're up for the task. Because then all of a sudden, you get a second chance. Don't you see? Even if you are that person that just had fun. You just had fun. You took your time. You didn't. You fucked around. And one day you found yourself alone, well, well past your prime, and realizing that you are in fact old and you're sad and you're like, God damn it, I really fucked up, huh? It's not over. Your kid is a second chance. Your child is a second chance. Because we get about 100 years right now. If you're very lucky, if you're incredibly lucky, you get 100 years. Some people only get 20. Some people only get 10. Some people don't even get 10. But some people only get 50. It's like, but you get about 100, maybe. You get about 100 if you are safe and things kind of work out for you. A kid is another 100 years on your behalf. It's yours. It's your contribution to the world. And I guess that's my argument against just fucking everything that fucking moves. Is like, everybody wants to do good in this world. I don't think there's anybody that wakes up and they're like, I'm gonna fucking burn the world to a crisp and I'm gonna... I don't think anybody does that. I really feel like most people think that they're doing the right thing and they just kind of get lost at some point. And even then, it's because they think that they're doing the right thing. They feel like they're doing what's correct in their eyes. And a kid... A kid is like... There's... If you can raise that child right, it's like in that ruling, in that that final judgment, it's like it's not just your life anymore. It's like, what did you contribute to this world? What did you do to go above and beyond? And all of a sudden you have somebody acting on your behalf. You have somebody doing good in this world and changing it for the better on your behalf. And then if they even do a good job, because you raised them so correctly, you gave them exactly what they needed. You helped them and you got them going and you fucking... They took the hell off and they contributed and changed the world in their own way. And then they have a kid and they raise that child right, correctly. It's like, I mean, that's, you can be like, look at this go. Look at this go. I'm going to be rewarded. Like, this is... I take that back. Not the reward part, but it's just like, holy shit, look at all the good that I've done just because of me. Like, I'm so proud of them. Look at them go. Look at all the good that they're doing. And I'm like, cool. And the world changes. And like, I mean, how can you argue with that? And if you're in a monogamous, it's hard enough. It's hard enough with two people. If you're in the poly world, good fucking luck doing that alone. Because the stakes when you have a kid are very high. It's like, it's almost like a double or nothing. It literally is life's double or nothing, is having a child. All of a sudden, it becomes, holy fuck. This could go really good. This has never-ending potential for good. Or it could go really wrong. If I fuck up here, this life is now in my hands. Fuck. But if you're in a loving, truly loving, not like we're going to fuck just because it's going to make, we're not going to just have makeup sex all the time and this kid is going to have to listen to us scream and bang and then we go back to our lives and we're happy for 24 hours and then I'm screaming at you again over dinner and fucking up this kid. And we're so mad at each other that this child has to deal with, has to fucking listen to this and feel like they're the reason why. It's like you can take that avenue. I'm talking like a actual loving relationship. Which, by the way, if you're in that position and all you're doing is screaming in front of a kid, maybe it's best that you go your separate ways. I'm, you know, just a recommendation. Because the longer you force it, the more you're going to hurt that fucking kid and fuck them up. So don't waste your time. But the argument for monogamy here is, I mean, love the one you marry, you know? And if you truly love them, you'll be willing to work through the shit and take their advice into consideration and not want to fight. I mean, sometimes I guess it'll happen. But like, if you truly love them, you'll be like, listen, fuck, that wasn't cool. So how can we figure this out? Because I love you. I need this to work. Like, I want this to be happy. And if you have that, then all of a sudden that burden of like, holy fuck, this could go really bad. And like, now I have to think about every single word that I say and, oh my God, all of a sudden that burden becomes a little bit lighter. And again, it's beautiful because just like I talked about with the football team where it's like you have this common goal or like anything, like a business or anything like that, whatever you choose to do to contribute to society, in the same way, it'll bring you together. If you guys truly are united in this mission to make this kid as great as possible. And I mean, the reward for that is just like, you get to watch this kid have the most, they get to go on their own journey. They get to have their own fun and they get to fuck up and they get to get hurt and they get to, you know, scrape their knee and learn, and then all of a sudden they get to learn these values and they get to get back up and know that they're fucking stronger because they stumbled, and all of a sudden they get to keep going. And I'm not saying, like, you know, just let them drown, let them just die in a pool, because it's like, oh, it's good for his lungs. The water going into his lungs is good for him. He'll get stronger when he wins. It's like, baby, don't be stupid about it. But it is a truly beautiful thing. And that's what you give up when you're polyamorous. When you're just having fun. So, I mean, live your fucking truth, I guess. But know what you're giving up, honestly. And don't act like it's better. Because it's not. It's fucking stupid. It's not better for you in any world. It's horrible. It's, yeah, I mean, we're just having fun. Shut the fuck up, bitch. You're not fun. You're sad. You know that you wish that you were deeply in love and starting a family. Quit fucking around. Quit lying to me and quit lying to your own fucking self. Go contribute something. Go contribute something. And I don't mean contribute to your OnlyFans. Fuck that. Go do something great. You're worth more. God damn it. Yeah, and like you get to, depending on your relationship, like, because here's the thing, if it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. If you can build that, if you truly want to do it right, I really think that it'll work. You know, I'm still young, so I guess we'll see. We'll see if it's battle-tested. It's on me to prove it, huh? The proof is all around, but, you know, put my money where my mouth is, and bitch, I fucking plan to. Don't worry, you'll see. But, like, not only is it that scale, but then you get two people, they fall, like, you fall madly in love. And you guys are united in this goal to make the world a better place. And you can do that via a kid or maybe a couple kids. And all of a sudden, if you truly, with everything you have, help this kid to become good. Good and capable. And then give it up to the world. So that way they can go on their own journey. Then they get to do exactly what you did. And they'll see that, and they'll be like, okay, that, you know, mommy and daddy, they were pretty fucking happy. I feel really fucking good and confident about myself. I'm going to go do the goddamn same, and I want that. Because it's contagious. It's very contagious. Love is. And then they go and do it. And because you did such a, like, you tried. You tried, and that I think that's the thing, is just try. Just try. Just try. Just try. If you don't try, that's where you're at fault. But if you try, if you really try to make this kid's life better and get him ready, if you really try, like, you're not saying that you're trying, but you're actually trying, then that kid will continue on, and then you get to, if you are lucky and you make it, you get to help them also, you know, bloom their own family, like, grow their own family. And then it becomes generational and generational, and it continues down. Continues down the line. And the final argument, because of that, like, where you not only got to contribute with your child and make the world a better place, but, like, you made, like, you had your life where you made the world a better place, and because of your life, because of you, you get to go on to the, like, there's the next level of kids, of your kids that on your behalf make the world a better place because it wasn't possible without you. And also going previous with your parents. So you have to thank them in some regard. Just keep that in mind, I guess. And then you go another step further, and you have the grandkids. And it's just like this never, it's this exponential, it's this exponential contribution to the world. It's amazing, and it just started with two people that loved each other. And then if you are tried and, you know, you are judged at the end of your life, it's like, you had fun, and that was about it. Or, look at all the things that changed because of you. Because of you. You can take credit for that. You can take credit, and you can be proud of that. So, I mean, but, it, you know, the final thing, because I kind of went all around. But if you do contribute, it's like your dad, and then first you're a friend, like you're a good person. You're just trying with everything. You just try. Just try. Just try. And I don't mean like, I'm trying. I mean like, you're not fucking saying you're trying. You're actually trying. You're not on your couch and you're not sitting here like eating a bunch of shit and be like, I'm trying. I'm just trying. No, like, you're actually going out there and fucking getting shit done, and you're trying to be a good person. And because you just tried to be a good person, and then you met somebody that's also trying to be a good person, and you unify on the fact that you're both trying to be a good people, and you agree that the best way to be, to try and contribute to the world, is to have a kid, and you try with that kid to make them as good as possible, so that way they are fully equipped to try and make the world a better place as well. And then they try and they meet somebody else that's trying to make the world a better place, and then they have your grandkid, and so you try to help them build their grandkid and teach them the lessons and the mistakes that you made. And then so on. And by the end of your life, you're sitting back with all these people that are thankful for the fact that you tried. Versus the person who didn't really try and they just had fun living their truth and stuff like that. And just sucked every fucking dick that they could imagine and fingered every single asshole that they possibly wanted. And then realized that they were out of frickin' time. They're just sitting back alone. And they're cold and they're sad and they're bitter. And they're angry. Come here. Come here, buddy. Come on. Get up here. Hi. You got anything else to say? That's right. Just try to make the world a better place, I suppose. Ruggles agrees. Or he doesn't. He's like, you know how many bitches you fucked on this fucking couch? All these goddamn cum stains. You son of a bitch. You're a hypocrite. Maybe. But I'm trying to be better. Okay? I've seen the error of my ways. No, but in all seriousness, it is a sad... All right. Go on. All right. It is a sad reality of where polyamory will take you versus monogamy. So I don't know. That's my argument for monogamy in a polyamorous world. So, thank you everybody so much for listening. My name is Anakin Meeker. Ruggles, do you have anything to say to the people? I suppose you already did, huh? Okay. Goodbye!